Hello, and welcome to Small Business Happy Hour, a podcast where we interview a different entrepreneur or small business owner every week to hear their story.
We chat about their business, passions, struggles, and all things small business. Oh, and we drink with our guests during the interview, hence the happy hour.
I'm your host, Derek, founder of Yoga for All Humans, a fully online yoga studio.
And I'm your host, Holly, creator of the blog The Bitter Lemon and author of many books. We are so happy you're here.
Hi, Holly.
Hello.
How goes it?
Not bad. How about you?
I'm a little pissed that it's already hot. I'm fine.
Yeah. It's definitely like, I did go outside for a little walk earlier, and I was like, man, it's kind of warm. And then when I looked at the temperature, it was 85, set to be 89, like a couple hours later.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't like it. It makes me scared of the summer. And you know how I get. But...
I know. Trust, I know. I don't even care. Like, I just surrender. It's like, this is my situation. That is just the motivation for me to continue to save my dollars to get out.
That's right. Yeah, that's a good way to look at it.
Like, but I slept, I feel like a couple weeks ago, maybe it was like 3 weeks ago, where it was kind of hot during the day, cool at night, and I slept. I really never do this, but I slept like with my sliding door open because I have a fan on my balcony that I just, normally if I'm out there, I use it to face me. But when I'm inside, I point it in so it brings in cool air at night, and it will drop like the inside of my apartment, like, you know, like 10 degrees or whatever, like at night. So for like a week, I slept with like my door open, which I'm always scared to, but I'm like, it's worth it because like I don't have to turn on my AC.
Well, what else have you been up to this week?
Well, this is not really a personal update, but it is something that I wanted to talk about. Last Friday, I woke up, and I try not to do this, but I did it. I woke up and just like immediately checked my phone. And I saw this very bizarre update from a makeup brand that I really like called Beauty Bakery. It's a Black female owned makeup brand. And she announced the doors are closed.
Oh, no.
I'm on the email list. I follow them on Instagram. I'm on the email list. I have, when I tell you, I have purchased every single product. Like, I love this brand. There was no warning. Like, in my email, the email just said, like, it's been sweet serving you. My taste buds have changed. Like, all of her stuff is like the bakery theme. And it sort of alluded to like a, what she considered a larger calling, like a religious calling, that she wanted to like leave this and do something religious. Okay. And that's the, it was the same sentiment on the Instagram post. And I even like throughout the day was like Googling to see if there was anything else. And like before hopping on here to record this, it's been almost a week. I checked to see if there was any other solid news, like, was there financial trouble? Was it something else? You know, and it's like, there's really no like legitimate news coming out about it. And I think it's like one of those things where like, on the one hand, like she doesn't have to have a legitimate reason. Like it's her life, it's her business. But on the other hand, I'm like, damn, she had the best loose powder on the market.
And I get it. I love my MAC blot powder. So.
And it's like, I don't have this problem because I'm white, but very few brands, it's getting better as far as like the shade inclusion for folks. But obviously, I think Beauty Bakery was one of the first that started with the darker shades first and then made it inclusive to white people. So I know a lot of people really felt connected to the brand that she put, you know, different skin colors first, and she made shades that were truly universal and not just doing it because you're supposed to or whatever. And it was also vegan clean because she was a cancer survivor. So she made it like, you know, safe to put on your skin. And like, of course, the packaging was so cute because it was all like bakery stuff. And I will admit, like, this may be a super hot take, but reading that it was that it's like a religious calling that she feels, I'm kind of like, man, I really hate to see that somebody can't do both. Like, why is the makeup not a religious thing? Like, I think owning a brand that is inclusive and encourages people to feel beautiful in their skin and love each other has its own, you know, merits in religion anyway. So it's like frustrating that when you hear people leaving something to meet a religious calling, I'm like, why does it have to be either or?
I shouldn't sell it, because it's like I get, like, you know, running a business is a lot of work, right? And if you feel like you don't have enough time to prioritize something else, like, you know, sure.
Yeah. But
like, she could have sold it. She could have like handed it over to someone else to run, you know, because I feel like that sounds like there was a bit of community around the business. And that's a lot of what we talk about on here, you know.
Right.
And
well, that's just what I was...
people. That's not very religious to you know.
Well, that's what I was looking for when I was looking for news stories. Like, did somebody buy it? Because as far as you can see from the eye, it wasn't a matter of like the brand failing financially. Of course, I don't know, but she had a million followers on the Instagram account.
Damn, a million?
It was sold in Ulta, Target.
Oh my God.
Like, it had already, like, it was, you know, successful in that way. Obviously, I don't know the numbers as far as what people were buying, but, and I know makeup, you know, right now makeup is, first of all, the beauty industry is super saturated as it is. And I know right now, you know, when people, you know, when the money is tight, sometimes makeup is, you know, isn't a priority, obviously. But some people, some like more gossip articles I read said, you know, well, Beauty Bakery couldn't keep up with the current like clean girl look. And it's like, well, first of all, clean girl is going out. Like, we're getting back to full glam. So,
yeah, so I've heard. Yeah.
Like, that is not the case. And like, I feel like it's sort of silly to like peg these brands as like, oh, this is for clean girl makeup. Like, you can use all sorts of different makeup to make different looks. Like, obviously, like, maybe not the like if it's full coverage foundation, but like, you can use loose powder, or like, her best selling item was it was called a lip whip, and it was like a matte lip that was like truly forever staying. Like, you had to like scrub it off your lips. So it does. It makes me sad. I still have, like, because of my prior hoarding tendencies when it comes to makeup, I still have like 2 unwrapped loose powders. So I will be set, literally set. My face will be set.
Yeah, I get the pun. Thank you.
For a while, but then I won't be able to buy it.
Yeah, that sucks.
And like, you can still, like, Ulta still has it, but obviously they're going to start running out of like
their
inventory.
My week was way less dramatic. pretty much all I've been doing is working, you know, because since getting back from the blocks, the TV show I was on, like, you know, we walked away with so much shit to kind of implement in a good way. But because I work full time, you know, there's only so many hours of the day that I can actually do things, right? So, but I'm really motivated, and anytime I'm feeling motivated, like, I take advantage of it, because like, one thing about me is if I am not like in the zone, there's no way to force me into the zone, right? It's not to be like a high producer, and then it ends up being, you know, either an anxiety attack or a migraine if I try to push myself too hard. So anytime I'm like feeling it, I take advantage of it. So I haven't even been reading very much. I feel so disconnected from my girl and my book. So I'm hoping after this weekend, I'll be able to, like, you know, find a better groove, because last weekend I didn't have much time, but this is my Friday off. So I'm going to like really try to do a good reset, make a really good plan of action this weekend, you know, so that whenever I start to like do things, like, I have like a really defined action plan, you know. But I don't know. Basically what I've been focusing on this week was being more consistent with posting. I don't know if you've noticed that, you know, I was being more consistent with posting, and that was a big thing.
How was that?
I've had a few more people sign up for classes than I ever did.
Okay.
So we'll see. We'll see if that, I don't know if it was just like circumstantial, seasonal, something. I don't know. But even some of the posts, like I have to remind myself, like it doesn't have to be fancy, right? It can be a picture. It doesn't always have to be a video. It could be a graphic, right? So like I need to like do a good job of planning out so that I don't always feel pressure to come up with content, you know?
Use the scheduling feature.
No, I need to figure out how to do that because I have no idea how to schedule a post.
Yeah, so. just it's super easy. Just go in there like you're going to normally post.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think it's like advanced options or something. And when you go into that, right at the top, it says schedule post and you just click on that. And then you literally set the time. It's like in 5 minute daytime, 5 minute increments. You should like batch as long as you're not wanting someone to collaborate on it.
Yeah.
Set it.
Perfect.
Because that's what I do for the podcast Instagram. Most of the posts I just schedule and then you'll get a notification saying like it posted.
Cool. Okay. Yeah. I need to do that because that's half the struggle is like, you know, finding the time in a day to post because it takes a long time. And then whenever you're posting on multiple platforms, you know, it just gets complicated. So other than that, I made a therapy appointment for next Friday. So I'm excited to get back into therapy because I took like a little break because March was so busy. So yeah, I'm doing a good reset and I feel pretty confident about moving into, I guess we're in spring, even though it feels like summer already.
Yeah, we're definitely in spring and a new season is upon us. I feel like we're in a new month, a new season.
Yeah, I'm feeling good vibes from
me too.
So I'm riding the wave while it's good. Sweet. Do we want to introduce our guest for the week?
Yeah, let's do it.
So our guest this week is Brittany Wilkins, who is someone I met on the TV show at the Blocks. She owns this really cute boutique in Palestine, Texas, which is kind of like, I think she described it as like in the middle of nowhere between like Houston and Dallas, I believe. Yeah, so it's, but I mean, I recognize the name, so it's not like that small. But yeah, Brittany and her mom started a boutique toward like around the pandemic time, like a lot of people, right? It's kind of a shift for a lot of people to move into entrepreneurship because whether they lost a job or just like had a shift in, you know, thought process, that was kind of a catalyst for a lot of people. And her mom have always been like really big into fashion, and she talks a lot about that, how it's been like a multi-generational thing in the podcast. So it's a great story. But yeah, they like are bringing style to a town that didn't have a whole lot of shopping options, you know. So I love what she's doing. She's got a really great head on her shoulders, and I'm excited to see, you know, where she goes. It's going to be fun to watch everyone from the show and, you know, how they go along.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually looked at the shop's Instagram like extensively just to see like what kind of stuff they had. And it's cute. They have some really cute stuff. They have a lot of cute accessories and it's definitely a specific style, but I think it's a style that like a lot of people are into. So they do have an online store. So if you need a place to like get some cute clothes and like jewelry, that cute jewelry, check it out.
Yeah. And a TikTok shop, which I had no idea what it was before this podcast episode. So if you don't know what TikTok shop is, you will find out. All right, well, y'all enjoy Brittany's sweetest pie. Hey, Brittany.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. You?
Good. It's been so long since we've seen each other.
I know, right? So long.
Yeah. But you're in Texas. We're not too far from you, so we can call each other neighbors.
Right? Yeah. Close enough, even though Texas is pretty big, but everybody in Texas is a neighbor, right?
Yeah. We're in Austin, so we're not, you know, we're still the east side like you are, so.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, good to see you again. This is my co-host, Holly.
Hi. Nice to meet you.
Cool. What have you been settling back in since you got home?
Yeah, I'm still like trying to get caught up and just implement all the things and It's been a whirlwind. And then today I feel like I'm getting strep throat. So I'm like, great.
All right. Well, we'll try not to make you talk too much, but no promises.
Right.
So, well, thanks for hopping on. As I said, you know, we call it small happy hour because we invite people to drink with us and be a little bit more casual if you want. Are you partaking in happy hour today?
I am not. Like I said, I feel like I'm coming down with strep, so right. I'm going to take some antibiotics when I get home. Right. So I will not be partaking today.
You're responsible. Fine.
I know, right?
Holly, did you make a fun mocktail?
I'm having the de-alkalized naughty Syrah.
Do you like it?
I actually, I think this is the third red that I've tried, and I feel like it's pretty good. You know, I mean, honestly, I feel like the ones I've tried are all pretty good, like, in relation to de-alkalized wine. You know, it's like I said, like, it's not going to be real wine, but I feel like if it has layers to it, then, but I also add the, I taste it first, then add the bitters, and then it always tastes better with the bitters. So it's pretty good. I feel like for the price, I don't know if I would buy it again, but I'll drink it.
Yeah. Yeah. Brittany, Holly's sober. What do we say? Sunday through Thursday, right? Our school nights, you know, Holly does like creative like mocktails and stuff.
Right. Cool.
What do you got here?
Oh, I got my wine.
Special kind?
Real wine. Actually, yours is real wine. It's just been de-alcoholized. So that's the cool thing about it. No, nothing special. Well, I think it's special. It's my go-to. My go-to these days, the undivided Pinot Noir. That's been my favorite lately. So, yeah. But that's a running joke, Brittany. It was like toward the beginning of the podcast, I tried to get creative. Holly usually, you know, has a bunch of different kind of cocktails and stuff that she does. And I'm just wino, you know, I'm just, if you come to Austin, I'll go to wine country with you because I love it. That's just.
And see, I don't drink wine. So, okay. Unless it's Moscato, it has to be super sweet. I cannot do wine generally.
Then you would like Fat Ass Ranch, which is a place out in wine country.
Yeah.
And they do like fruit wine and stuff, which was not my vibe. But if you like sweet, they would probably have a lot of stuff you like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, we're here to talk about you, Brittany. So to start us off, I would just love to hear a bit about like kind of what was your journey like to opening Pirates and Pearls Boutique? How long has it been opened? All that good stuff.
We started back in 2020, online only, just doing pre-orders. We didn't have any inventory, anything like that. And it all started, my mom and I are doing this together. And so she had been retired for probably at least 10 years and just traveled with my stepdad while he was working. Well, he moved back home. They settled down. He wasn't traveling anymore. So she was just kind of bored. And the job that I had been at for the past 12 years, I knew they were closing. I was a area manager. I had known for about 2 years that they were going to close eventually. We were just sitting there and I was like, God, what do I want to do? You know, I've been doing this for so long and I was in sales and cell phone sales at that. And I told myself I will never, ever, ever go back to that. People are crazy about their cell phones. Just don't ever do it. But we were just sitting there. Actually, it was in May. And so we were sitting there by her pool. My daughter was swimming and we were just shopping online. Mm-hmm. Mom and daughter, you know, that's what we like to do. Mm-hmm. And we're like, you know what? There's nowhere to shop in town. So the town where we live is a small town. And we had like a Bell's, which had been here forever, and a JCPenney's, which had been here forever. And both of them closed their retail stores in our town. And so we were like, there's nowhere to shop. We love to shop. You're going to be without a job. You're retired. Let's just do this and see how it goes. And so we did. And here we are now, almost 4 years later. And now we have brick and mortar. We still do online. It's just been kind of crazy, but great at the same time.
I love that you're doing it with your mom. I didn't realize that until earlier today, whenever I was stalking your website and stuff. I think that's so cute and sweet.
Yes, we are. We've always been best friends. Like when I was younger, it was just me and her for a long time. My dad, he lived way far off. And so it was just me and her for a long time. And so we've always been super close. And sometimes it's a struggle because she still acts like I'm her daughter in business and not her partner. But other than that, like, it's wonderful. I love working with my mom.
That's cute. She doesn't come with you to the show, right?
No, she did not. That is not her thing. She definitely not. She would have had an anxiety attack. Sure. She doesn't do a lot of people and like talking and all that kind of stuff. And she's just like, you handle it. You go.
Yeah. And you clearly did well. So
I'm curious, like if neither of you have owned a business, like to me, whenever I hear brick and mortar, like it makes me so nervous. Like, were you guys terrified to start? And like, what was that process of like finding a location and like leasing a place and all that?
So yeah, my mom actually did own a business prior, back like when they still had credit bureaus and you actually like went in somewhere to check your credit. Like she owned that way a long, long time ago, her and her sister for many, many years. So she did have some knowledge of owning a business. But me with my background, I was an area manager. So I was tasked with finding places to lease and looking at the contracts and doing all that kind of thing. So that was already kind of in my wheelhouse and I dabbled in the operation side. I kind of was a jack of all trades. Honestly, it was a small company. Anywhere I was needed, I was used. So operationally, that was something that I knew. The leases, that's something that I knew. Sales, obviously I knew. I had worked in retail, clothing stores all the way from high school. That's what I did all through college when I was going to school. So it kind of was easy in that way. And the first clothing store I worked at, actually one of my best friends in school, her parents owned it. So I went with them to market. I learned how kind of things worked from them. So we had a little bit of prior knowledge going into it. But yes, opening brick and mortar is scary, especially in the time we're in right now, because we just opened November of 2022, brick and mortar. And retail is, you know, slowly dying across the country. But on the other hand, people like to go in and try things on. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a catch 22. Yes, a lot of people shop online, but yes, a lot of people still want to come in.
Totally. I actually worked retail a lot last year when I was in between jobs, and I was shocked every time I showed up for a shift and there would be people waiting to get in. I'm like, I never shop in person, like even for makeup or anything. And I could not believe, even on rainy days, holidays, those days were even busier. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, but
yes, there are a lot of people that still like to come in, touch, feel, you know, see, try on all the things.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, especially clothes. You know, it's especially if it's a boutique style, like, and you don't know the brand, you know, you got to try it on, right? That makes sense. Where did the name Pirates and Pearls come from?
So another moment by the pool. We were thinking more like Pistols and Pearls or something along those lines, something and pearls, right? So we had looked up several names and they were already taken. And my stepdad is kind of crazy. And he's like always been a fan of the Pirates of the Caribbean and all the things. And so for Father's Day that year, I had bought him a flag to fly out by his pool. And it was a pirate flag. And he was like, Pirates and Pearls, like it goes, you know? And so the name just stuck and it's unique and we liked it. So that's where it came from. But we do get kind of dig sometimes. They're like, there's nothing in here for any pirates, you know, like there's nothing really in here for guys. So, I mean, sorry.
Pirates are women too.
Right.
inclusive with the pirate world.
That's so cute. Is it just you and your mom that runs the store? Or do you all have other employees now too?
So I do have a girl that works on the weekend for us. She's in hair school, and so she only can work weekends, but we've known her for forever. And so she comes in and helps us out. And then we did have another girl that was working for us full time, and she had a baby recently. So she is taking care of that baby now instead. So, yeah, just the three of us currently.
There you go. Yeah.
It's nice.
That is nice.
I'm curious because I follow some other business owners that own boutiques. So can you explain like market and the process of, you know, buying the clothes? I mean, it looks like the videos I've seen from market, it looks huge. So I'm always like, how do you decide? Like, how do you know what you want to buy?
It's literally insane. Market is, I think, 15 floors. And on each floor, I could probably spend 3 hours. I'm no kidding. I mean, they are huge. There are, I don't know how many thousands of people there. You honestly have to spend multiple days to even be able to see everything. Because if you want to find new vendors, like we go and we have vendors that we already know and use and we know where they're at and set up. But sometimes we're like, okay, we want to try to find something new. So there's like, different floors have different things. So like one is young adult fashion and one is like more Western. And so they have different floors so you can kind of choose what kind of vibe you're going for. And then like the shoes are on another floor. And then they also have like a floor that's cash and carry. So when you go to market, you have to order and they ship it to you. You don't pick it up there. Mm-hmm. And you order in packs or whatever. So typically that's how it is. But on cash and carry, everything you can buy there and you can take it home with you. So sometimes we'll just go for just cash and carry if we want to pick up a few things that we're looking for specifically. Or sometimes we'll go and place, you know, huge orders to last us through that quarter on all the other floors. It really just depends on kind of where we're at in our inventory levels.
Oh, wow. So you would buy like, how far in advance would you buy for like spring?
So for spring, I'm buying in, let's see, the October market.
Wow. Okay.
So like two seasons ahead, kind of.
Right. Yeah. Way early for sure. And if you don't buy that early, what you want to get is sold out. Like you won't get the good stuff. And if you don't go to market, some places have market exclusives that aren't on their website and things that they don't show online. So if you don't go to market, you don't see those things.
And where's the closest market for you?
Dallas.
In Dallas. That makes sense. Okay.
Yeah. Dallas is huge. And then there's one in Nashville. There's one in Miami. There's one in Vegas, Chicago, Atlanta, New York, LA, I'm trying to think of any other big ones. There's several, but they're all quarterly basically.
And so like, what is the style for, is there like a specific style that you guys look for the boutique? And like, are you trying to like keep up with certain trends? Like when you go to market, or is it like, hey, that's not our customer. Like our customer is interested in classics or whatever.
Right. Yeah. You have to be really specific when you go in, because it's really easy to get sucked down the rabbit hole of, oh, I want to buy for everybody. Right. And we want to carry something for everyone in the store. It's just not feasible, honestly, because you can't market to everybody. We wouldn't have enough selection to carry for everybody. Like, say, you know, your 65 to 70 year old woman versus a 20 year old, their styles are vastly different. So we kind of had to pick a target market, and it is younger moms is definitely our target. Between the ages, well, really even teens too, we carry young adult stuff mainly. Now we do carry some work attire and things like that just for our local customers, but online it's mainly young adults. With a slight trend on more Western, because that is really what's more popular here, and really online too, it goes like crazy.
So would you say that, like, because Palestine is East.
Palestine. Sorry. Palestine. Oh, Palestine. It's spelled like Palestine, but Palestine, yes.
Palestine makes a lot more sense. It's not the country. It's a... Yes. Would you say that, I mean, because like in Texas, it depends on where you go, right? Like there's so many different cultures in Texas. Would you say that like the culture of where you are kind of inspires your store as well?
to an extent. More so, though, it's really just our style, mine and my mom's. We like to be unique and different and kind of stand out. And so there's not another store like us in town. We strive to be different than everybody else. So I wouldn't necessarily, I mean, to an extent, yes, but not full-heartedly. It's based on our local area.
Okay. And I like accessories, that makes sense. But I saw that you have like home decor stuff too. Is that like in-store or just fine?
We have a little bit, yeah. So like we have some funny little cup towels that say The Real Housewives of Palestine, or, you know, there's certain little gifty things that we have in store that's just for our local people, yes.
That's cute. I love that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like grabby things. That's always nice to have, you know.
Right. Yeah. If somebody comes in looking for a gift or something, you know, it's always easy to grab cute little things like that.
Mm-hmm. I love it. What I would love to hear about is, like, on your website, you know, you kind of mentioned that, you know, the boutique isn't just a place to shop. It's a reflection of, like, your family's values and aspirations, and that y'all believe that fashion is, like, a powerful form of self-expression. I would love to hear more about, you know, your mentality about that.
1,000%. So it started probably with my grandmother. Like, she loved clothes. She loved shopping. She just passed in December. So excuse me if I get a little emotional, but it probably started with her and her love of clothes and expressing herself. And we were always expected to look our best going out in town. Like, you know, we were not going out looking shabby anywhere. And so that kind of just... it really empowered me, because then once I got old enough to realize, like, when I go out looking good, I feel so much better about myself. And, you know, they say retail therapy. Well, it's true. Like, if I'm having a bad day, let me go shop and I'm going to feel better, you know? Yeah. So that's definitely something that we try to bring to our customers and try to be, you know, just uplifting and help them choose things that, you know, look good on their body type that maybe they wouldn't typically go for, you know, and kind of push them out of their comfort zone to say, hey, you know what? Maybe you might not typically think of this as your style, but try it on, see how you feel, see how it makes you feel, and then go from there. And you'd be so surprised how many times we've had people say, I would have never picked that up off the rack, but I love it once it gets on them. So it's just really cool to see that, and to see them really feeling good about themselves when maybe they were coming in saying, oh, I hate shopping, you know, everything I try on looks frumpy, or just accessorizing it, you know, better or something, just helping them style it in ways they might not have thought of before is really cool.
That's so cute. I love that.
It's the favorite part of my day, honestly.
I did a little bit of clothing retail, but not too much. I was mostly accessories, and I managed a sunglass store for like 5.5 years in college. And cool. I had similar experiences with that, with like people being like, I can never find anything to fit my face or whatever. And I'm like,
girl, right.
3,000 sunglasses in here. I'm going to find you something, you know?
Right.
Feel so much better after like finding something that they didn't think that was even possible, you know? So that's right. Kind of cool. And it's that's cool that y'all are able to provide that for your community.
Yeah, it's really fun.
I love that.
Curious about the online aspect, because before you said you were just doing like pre-orders and online. So what did you have like a third party that was shipping them out, or were you like packing them up at your house, or how did that work?
Yeah, everything was at our house. So we had certain vendors that we would buy from. We would post a pre-order on our site, leave it open for about a week, and people could buy throughout that week. And then we had a closing date, right? And so then once it closed, no more orders were taken. So we would order in bulk whatever the people had ordered, and then it would ship to us and we would ship it out to them. So it was sometimes a lengthier process because some vendors, you know, they hand make the shirts or whatever it may be. So that's why we kind of went away from that. But it was a really good starting point because it let us have inventory, but not pay for it up front, you know, and be out that out of pocket money up front. So it really let us get going and get started and grow our group and things like that without having to go into massive debt, you know, to open a store like a lot of people do. And that's something we never wanted to do. We never wanted to go into debt to live our dream out. So That's why we kind of started that way.
I feel like that pre-order drop, I don't want to say culture, but that is like, that's been really popular, I feel like, for the past couple years. And it's like, when I think about people that have kind of started these clothing business out of their homes, you know, I don't want to name any names, but famously some MLMs like put women in major debt because it's like, hey, you have to have 200 pieces of clothing right. in your garage to even start selling. And then what if it doesn't sell?
Right. Correct. Yeah. I mean, because you really don't know your customers until you start trying to sell to them and start trying to, even now we buy things that we get it in store and it sits here forever, you know, and it doesn't move. So it really is a trial and error. And that's just a really good way to start out when you don't really know what you're doing and you don't have a lot of money that you want to throw at it, you know, and potentially lose. So for sure.
Yeah. That kind of reminds me of something that I've always been curious about with clothing stores. Like, you know, if you have something in the store that, you know, isn't moving, like obviously eventually it goes to like a clearance rack or something, but there's bound to be things that you just never move and you want to get rid of. What's the process for like getting rid of it? Is there any kind of like rebate type of thing or?
Oh no, we just donate. We donate it typically. I mean, if it's sat here for so long and it's been on the clearance rack and all the things, typically we'll just donate it to whatever charity. There's one called Hope Station here that we sometimes donate to. So that's a really good one.
Cool. And you can probably do like a tax write-off for that too, I would imagine.
Yeah you can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. Holly and I are big thrifters. I used to not be, but Holly's gotten me into thriftings in Austin.
It could be fun. And I'm sure there's probably really good places to thrift there.
Yeah, I'm scarred because like, I'm from Baton Rouge, Louisiana originally. So like, it's just always a hot mess there. So I like just gave up on it. And then once I, you know, got here and like, I gained some weight, didn't really have anything that fit me. And I was like, Holly, please help. You know, we have fun.
Yeah. I was actually thinking the other day, I got tickets to see Kacey Musgraves on her new tour. And I'm like, okay, I'm ready to start looking now. I need to go to all the thrift stores. I need boots. I need a jean jacket.
Right. All the things. Yes.
And I'm like, this, like Austin, I feel like has, I mean, a lot of places, a lot of cities have great clothes, but I'm like, this is so easy to find in Austin, like cowboy boots for super cheap.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
I'm jealous. I love Kacey Musgraves. Is she coming through town?
Yeah, she's coming to Moody Center.
Fun. I'm so jealous. That's cool. I love her. I won't jack your concert though. So Holly put a good question in here. Like obviously, you know, all businesses come with challenges, right? So we like to kind of touch on the reality while we're talking to people. Since opening, like, what kind of challenges have y'all gone through with the store?
Oh, my goodness. It really started even before opening, just trying to get the construction done and dealing with all of that. And it took so long to even get open. And, you know, we had all this inventory just sitting that we had, you know, purchased, and it took so long. And so that was kind of a hard hit to even get open. And then the economy's just taken a nosedive since we did open. So it's been just a really tough, I would say probably the last year has been really tough. Just people aren't shopping, you know, people don't have the extra money to spend, and being able to just persevere through that has been really hard and find new avenues to reach your customers and relate to them and make sure you're getting things that, you know, they're going to want to come in and shop with you for. I mean, the people aren't just going out and spending the extra money that they had. They're not going out on girls trips and going shopping this year. You know, that just hasn't been a thing. So really trying to adjust to that and stay afloat, you know, it's my income. It's my mom's income. It's been a rough year for that. And just really, yeah, that's been the hardest thing so far, is just this past year and the economy and just finding ways to reach new audiences.
What are some things that you've tried? Is it like social media stuff or events or like certain products?
So we had done events in the past. We actually used to set up an event every month. And then it got to the point where we were just busier in store. And I mean, it's East Texas. It was kind of, you know, if it was windy, our clothes got all dusty and just nasty. So we just stopped doing that. Mm-hmm. But we had been on Facebook, and Facebook, the algorithm changes so often and blocks your customers from even seeing your post and things like that. So we actually started a TikTok shop about 6 months mm-hmm. ago, and it has been such a huge blessing. So if TikTok goes away, I'm going to be really, really sad because everyone is shopping on TikTok right now. Like, TikTok made me buy it as a whole thing, and it's definitely taken over. So that has been where we have shifted focus this year, kind of away from Facebook. Yes, we still have our page, we still have our group, we still post, we interact, but that's not where the majority of our focus is. It's definitely switched to TikTok this year.
That's so interesting. So, like, I'm kind of ignorant because I'm not a big TikToker. Obviously, I'm a little into that in my yoga studio. But how does TikTok Shop work?
So you have to apply to become a shop on there. I can't remember exactly what they wanted. Basically, just your business documents. And then they review it. We actually got denied, I think, twice for TikTok mm-hmm. Shop. And finally, I don't know what the third time the magic charm was, but we finally got approved. And so we're able to link all of our inventory from Shopify, which is our POS system that we use, to TikTok Shop. So it's kind of like Amazon on TikTok. You can go on there and you can search for whatever you want to search for. Say you want to look for distressed jeans or whatever. You just type that in there and it comes up a whole huge listing of everyone that has that type of product. It's really cool in that regard. And the amount of people that are shopping on TikTok, if it continues, they say we'll rival Amazon in 5 years. And that's a big task. Like, Amazon is huge as far as sales goes worldwide. And for them to even be in the same ballpark right now is kind of crazy. So
it's like, see, okay, I'm so glad I asked you, because, like, in my mind, what TikTok Shop was those weird, like, live videos where people are like, you know, this item is up for sale. And then, like, someone will comment and they'll be like, Susie got it. Wrap it up for you now. It's not that.
People can do that. They can and they do. I do lives every now and then on there. But there are some people that are so over the top with it. It's kind of crazy. But no, it is actually, like, if you click on the little shopping cart, it will take you to just basically everyone's things on there. And you just search for whatever you want.
Interesting.
So I would say probably 90 to 95% of our sales on TikTok do not come from my videos or lives. It's just people searching for things.
Because it's like, you don't even have to have a brand presence. Like, you could literally have, like, an unbranded storefront, just as long as you have a POS and inventory that's legitimate. If people search cowboy hat and you have it, the one they want, they're going to buy it. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's great in that regard.
That is very cool. Thank you for explaining. Yeah, I was ignorant to that. So that makes a lot of sense. That's cool that it's been good for your business too. Good for you for getting creative and leaning into that, you know?
Yeah, because when I first thought about it, I was like, oh gosh, I don't want to do TikTok, you know? I don't want to make videos. I don't want to dance, you know? I am a dancer. Like, I took dance for almost my whole life, but I don't want to get on TikTok and dance. Like, I'm too old for that. Ain't nobody trying to see that. So, but it's been such a blessing. And the content creation hasn't been too bad. It's been okay. But it's not anything like I expected it was going to be.
I mean, you never know what's going to work. I follow, like, one crystal shop, and they will do drops, and they do have a website, but they literally will just go on Instagram Live and be like, here's our new crystals. They'll explain them and be like, just put, you know, an emoji in the thing and it'll be yours. And it's like $1,000 crystals that they're just straight up selling on Instagram Live, like, to,
yeah.
And that works for them. So it's like, whatever.
Right. Yeah. You have to find what works for you. And once you find that, you really just got to hone in on it and go from there. So luckily that's been it for us. And having really good product photos and things like that, of course, help you stand out in the mass marketplace that it is. So, I mean, there's more to it than just posting your stuff on there. But yeah, it's definitely been amazing, to say the least.
Very cool. That's good advice for other clothing people too.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and it really anything that anybody sells, like they have everything on there. So it doesn't matter what your product is, if you're on there. I mean, I even have coaches and content creators and other things like selling services on there too that I've seen. So it's not just products anymore either.
Okay. Yeah. I'm like, my wheels are turning. How can I use this with studio? So that's something I'll
look. Right. Yeah,
go ahead
for
and
sure.
Get yourself set up, Derek, before they slap it on down.
Oh no! Oh my gosh! If they do, I'm going to be so mad.
I don't think they will. They tried a year or so ago, and
I mean, on one hand, I get it though, because when someone buys on TikTok, like I can see their information once I print out their shipping label.
Mm-hmm.
But before then, I can't see their name. I can't see their address. I can't. There is a little button for contact buyer, but you know, that's literally the only way that I have access to the customer that bought from me. It's like, I get it because China owns it and they're getting our information. And, you know, I understand, but it will hurt my business if it goes down for sure.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people's businesses and a lot of marginalized communities' businesses. But mm-hmm. I'm curious because I do think something's going to happen, but it's like the U.S. is only mad because they don't have access to the data. They're not mad about stealing data or China. Like, they're just mad it's not them.
Yeah.
Right. I agree. And, you know, if that was the case, if they were mad about that, they would have shut down like Shein and Temu that are stealing Americans' designs left and right and reselling it for pennies on the dollar. I mean, it's literally every single day they're ripping off. And that's another problem, though, sometimes with TikTok is that those suppliers are on there and mm-hmm. they're seeing, because it shows how many products are sold of each item. They're remaking those products at a crappier quality and, you know, undercutting U.S. businesses that way, too. So it is a double-edged sword.
Yeah. Yeah. Zucky is mad that he doesn't have that data. So he's like...
Yeah.
Zucky.
I mean, I think that's how we all feel about him, right? I mean, I do.
We do. Yeah, so you're in good company.
That's funny. Are you feeling like now that you have been owning the business for, 4 years now, what are some, you know, myths or misconceptions do you think is out there about owning a business? Like if people are listening and they're like, I hate my job, I'm just going to go start a business. Like,
think twice before you do that. If you are listening and you think business ownership is all glamorous and you just get all the days off and you have all this free time, you're lying to yourself. I work more now than I ever did as a sales manager. And I was working 60, sometimes 70 hours a week there. And I definitely work more now. Like it never shuts off for me, which it's good that it's my passion, but it's also bad because it doesn't ever shut off. I'll be in bed at midnight and I can't stop thinking about something. And, you know, I'll be up until 1 or 2 a.m. sometimes just trying to get that done. When you're at a corporate job or a regular job where somebody else handles all those things, you don't think about it. It just runs smoothly. Versus when you're running your own business, everything falls on your shoulders. If something doesn't get done, it's your fault and you got to fix it. So that's something that I don't think people think about is the immense responsibility that comes with it. Especially if you have a family, you know, your family is now relying on you to bring an income. If you don't do well at what you're doing and you're not doing all the things well that you have to do, then you don't have that income and your whole family suffers. So it's definitely not for the people who don't want to put in 1,000%.
Yeah, I would agree with that for sure.
Derek is like, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yes. I'm tired. Exactly. Like some days I could just cry and I'm like, why did I do this to myself? Like, you know, why? And then I have a side business too. I have 10 puppies at home right now. And I'm like, why? Why did I do this? And, you know, they're a lot to take care of too, but it's another one of my passions. I love my pups. And so I just get it done.
Yeah. Yeah.
When I was working retail, we had like our main head manager. Anytime you went to him with some sort of problem, like say it was like your schedule or something, he would go, I'm trying to run a business. And it wasn't his business. We worked for a corporation. Okay. Oh, and I always would give him so much shit. Like anytime I would walk by, I would be like, or he'd be like, hey, go do this. I'd be like, I am trying to run a business. Because it's like, obviously a store manager anywhere is like, has a lot to do, but like everything is laid out for corporations. Like you said, like, it's like somebody else has thought of it. And like, we just have to hit sales goals. Like we're not doing anything.
Yeah, exactly. Like if something goes wrong and we don't get shipments in or something, there's somebody else that handles that. It's not me. You know, it's very, you have one task. I mean, it may be multiple tasks, but it's still a small portion of what it takes to run it all. So yeah, it's kind of crazy to think about. And that's funny that he said that. I'm trying to run a business. A schedule was probably the easiest part of my week.
Every day. Yeah. He would be like, I'm trying to run a business, or like a meeting. You'd be like, you guys, I am trying to run a business. And it's like, stop saying that. We're showing up and clocking in. Like, stop it.
Right.
That's hysterical. Brittany, I would love to hear, you know, obviously we went to the blocks together because we wanted to like grow our business, right? So what do you think is the future of your boutique?
So honestly, I have big dreams. Like, I want to be one of those places that whenever you think of clothing, you think of me and my face because I'm the face of this brand. But anyways, that's my goal. Actually yesterday we shipped our first package to Alaska and I was like doing a little happy dance over here. Like, and it was a crop top. I'm like, isn't it cold in Alaska? But hey, boo, you buy it, okay? You be cold over there in your little crop top, but you're going to look cute. So definitely, I just plan to keep expanding whatever presence that might be on. Of course, it's going to be online, not really here. I don't want to expand retail. We want to keep our store here just because it is local. This is my hometown. My mom's lived here since the 80s, I don't know how long. But so we definitely want to keep the store here to give our local people another option to shop at. But we don't want to, say, branch out and open other retail stores. Our main focus will be online.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited to see where you grow. How's that?
Thank you. Yes. Me too. I really am excited. And the blocks just kind of, because, you know, you kind of get in a slump and it's like, you're doing the same thing day in and day out. And it feels like your wheels are always spinning and you're not getting any more traction, but it kind of just like rejuvenated me to refocus and gave me a specific task. Like, this is how I'm going to lay out these next steps instead of just going at it blindly and hoping that it works.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. I'm excited to watch your journey for sure.
Thank you. Yours too. I've never tried yoga, so I may have to hop on one of your classes one day.
Yeah, you should. You might see Holly in there. Paula from the show has been coming to my classes this week. You know, like our group. I was like, Paula's been in my classes. Where are you at?
Right? Yeah, I'm going to have to try it one day.
Yeah, you should. They're good. They're very beginner friendly, you know, and if you have any like leading questions or anything, like, I'm always here to kind of help put your mind at ease. But I promise, if I can do yoga, you can do yoga. I'm not very flexible. So
I mean, I took gymnastics and dance for 10 years, so I'm still pretty flexible. Like, both of my daughters took after my husband. He is the most inflexible human I've ever met in my life. Like, he cannot touch his toes, nothing. He is so inflexible. And so both of my daughters are the same way. And so they've both been doing gymnastics too since they were both three. I can still do the splits better than both of them, and I don't stretch. It's so sad. Yeah. I joke with them all the time. I'm like, I'm almost 40 and can still do the splits better than y'all. And y'all stretch like multiple times a week. What is going on here?
That's the thing is a lot of, I would say most of flexibility is anatomy. That's all there is to it. You mm-hmm. know, people are just flexible and some aren't. That's funny. Yeah. So I hope to see you in class.
Yeah, for sure.
Is there anything that we didn't ask you that you wanted to talk about?
I don't think so. I think we talked about a lot.
Yeah, good.
This was fun.
Where can people find you?
So we are on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. Our name is Pirates and Pearls Boutique on all three. And the and is spelled out. It's not the and symbol. And then also online, if you just want to go to our website, www.piratesandpearlsboutique.com.
Sweet.
I love it. You got to get all those socials and have it be yours exclusively. Good job.
Yeah. Yes. And while we were sitting here, another TikTok order just came in. So see, it works when I'm not working.
Yes. That's that passive income that we like.
I know, right? I just love it when I wake up and I hear that ding on my phone before I'm even ready for work. I'm like, yes. Starting the day off good.
Is it only, can only U.S. shoppers buy from your TikTok shop, TikTok shop or anywhere?
I have it set to where only U.S. customers can, because I have not tackled international shipping yet. Maybe one day, but not today.
Yeah, so, it seems complicated.
Yeah, I don't know about the tariffs and the taxes and all of that kind of thing. So for right now, it's just U.S. customers. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Including Alaska.
Yeah, including Alaska. So any Alaskans out there, I mean, it might be cold, but we got something for you.
The same thing has happened with me at like the studio. Like I've had someone, I think, Bermuda. I want to say someone in Bermuda came to a class. Cool. Like someone in Germany. It's like it's fun when you see like you know you can reach people outside of like your bubble or even your country, right? It's cool.
Yeah, right. That's awesome. And it's like as a business owner, it gives us that you know little giddy feeling like we are really reaching people and we are really doing something, and it just gives us all the validation, you know, that sometimes it falls short, you know, on the tedious tasks, but those little things really can pick us back up.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we're here to support along the way, and I'm excited to, you know, watch your journey and obviously cheer each other on along the way. Well, thanks for hanging out with us tonight. I had so much fun getting to know you a little bit better.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You got it.
I hope you feel better.
Thank you. I hope so, too. Hopefully this is just a 24-hour thing and it doesn't last.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, of course. It was fun hanging out with you, Brittany. Thanks for hanging out.
Yeah, for sure.
Hope you're not sick. Maybe it'll just be allergies or something.
Oh, boy. I can't afford to be sick. I'm too busy.
Right.
That is the life of an entrepreneur. Yes.
1,000%. We get no sick days.
Exactly. All right. Well, have a good night. Tell your mom we say hey.
Y'all too. Okay. Thanks.
Right. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for taking the time to listen. Holly, where can people find you?
They can find me on Instagram and Twitter at OrangeJulia7, also on thebitterlemon.com and on Etsy, Bitter Lemon Digital. And Derek, where can people find you?
So I am on Instagram with my personal account at Yoga with Derek, and that's D-E-R-E-K, spelled the correct way. And on Instagram for Yoga for All Humans, it is at Yoga for All Humans on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. Don't judge my TikTok game. I'm still learning. On LinkedIn, you can sync up with me, Derek Hagler, on there. And Yoga for All Humans has its own LinkedIn account as well. And of course, yogaforallhumans.com is the studio's website. Small Business Happy Hour has its own Instagram account at Small Business Happy Hour. Or you can email us at smallbusinesshappyhour@gmail.com. Cheers. See you next Tuesday.